Let me start off the podcast by apologizing for how god-awful the audio was. I tried to add in some filters without really changing anything. I didn't think I needed to change some stuff. These are filters that I've always had on, and Jesus Christ. The audio sounded terribly. I apologize. I will fix it later. Anyways, I'm back. Final weekend of the regular season. Huge games have already happened yesterday and today. I've kind of lost my voice and I have a little bit of a sore throat. So I'm not going to be juiced up and screaming the way that I was last night. On top of that, we're just going to jump right in after halftime for the Dallas Cowboys game. It's probably going to be, the podcast is probably going to be about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I don't know. It's like however long the Cowboys game will be, that's how long the podcast will be. Anyways, I'm peacing out. Anyways, I mean, Jesus Christ, I'm so out of it that I was like, that I was about to end the podcast literally as I'm about to begin it. Sorry about that. Anyways, great show coming up. 24th podcast. And in the middle of the celebrations, I break down. Boy, you're gonna carry that way. Carry that way. Great song, Carry That Weight, off of the Beatles album, Abbey Road. One of my favorite songs by the Beatles. Again, I've been on a little bit of a Beatles craze for the last couple of weeks. So, as Greg Olson, and I'll be talking not just about the Dallas Cowboys game. I don't know what I'll name this podcast. It'll probably be something along the lines of the final week of the regular season or something like that. I don't know. But, again, it's like I'll talk about all of the games, not just the Cowboys game. I'm watching the Cowboys game because it's the most interesting, it's the most fascinating, and I'm a Cowboys fan. That's why we're watching the Cowboys. But in all honesty, it's like most of the teams on this block have kind of benched and are resting their players outside of like the Bears, for example. But the Cowboys are one of the teams that is still playing. Seattle's another team, I think, is playing their starters. The Chiefs, they've benched all of their starters and players. Rams, Niners, they've benched all of their players. You couldn't get me to watch the Broncos and the Raiders if you paid me. And so the two games in the mid block of the game of the day, Cowboys versus the Commanders and the Eagles versus the Giants, those two games actually have pretty much the entirety of both of those teams as starters play, except starters that are either hurt or sick. In the Cowboys case, where Tyler Smith, the left guard, is hurt, and Zach Martin, the right guard, woke up today, this morning, feeling sick. And after a blocked punt that got returned for like 60 yards, and I think it was for a field goal, as well as for an interception that I think led to a Washington Commanders touchdown, Dallas starts the second half of the game being up by 11 points. It's 21-10. It's a bloodbath. Dallas is absolutely mauling the Commanders, and they kind of have to win the game. Like, they have to essentially have a huge lead going into the fourth quarter. And the reason why is that the Eagles, for reasons that we will get into later, the Eagles have waved the proverbial white flag. They've had enough. They've tapped out. They're done. No moss. No fuss. Unlike Rocky, they're not going to go the distance. They've quit. They will pull their starters, and they will go home with a horrendous loss against the New York Giants, one of the worst teams in the NFL, after another huge loss. Can I just say something about the Eagles? I really believed in them. Okay? I really believed in them. and they and they let me down. I believed that they were better than the showcase that they presented forth. I don't know what's wrong with the Eagles. It is a huge, epic collapse, and I think I mentioned this in October or November. I talked about how about 2 years ago, there's a similar situation. Hold on, I'm getting an update about an injured player. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Okay, so I just got an update about Stephon Gilmore, who's probably done for the day with some type of a shoulder injury. I don't know what it is. Greg Olson didn't tell me. I unmuted him for like 5 seconds, and he's taking his sweet time giving me a soliloquy, Jesus Christ, about Stephon Gilmore and how awesome he is, but he didn't tell me anything about him. So, anyways. By the way, I just got some beautiful news about the Eagles versus the Giants that they put in Marcus Mariota, put him in. They're like, we gotta put in Marcus Mariota. Jalen, you're done for the day. Another player was done early on, unfortunately, due to injury for the Philadelphia Eagles. And they just put in Marcus Mariota, and he just threw an interception. I mean, again, I believed in the Eagles. I was like, I wasn't BSing. I thought they could actually do something here. I thought that the games that they had lost weren't really that important. I thought they were better. And it turns out, no, they're not. They are really bad. And it turns out that my analogy in comparison to the Arizona Cardinals in 2021 wasn't as correct. If you don't know what I'm talking about, a couple of years ago, Arizona goes on an absolute tear with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. I think the Buffalo Bills game where DeAndre Hopkins essentially caught like a Hail Mary by Kyler Murray, like off of his fingertips, that won them the game. I think that was the season that I'm referencing, the 2021 season, right? And so Kyler and the Arizona Cardinals, they are the last undefeated team in the NFL. It's like week 10, 11, something like that. And they essentially have about 2 months left. It's like a month and a half. They have like essentially, you know, six more games left in the season. But it's a wrap, right? Like they're the one seed in the division. They're the one seed in the conference. They play this weird, you know, this kind of like, not significant when you think about it back then, but currently it's like it kind of was the turning point of their season. The turning point of their season was this Thursday night football game against the Green Bay Packers in which they lost. And it was a loss that was predicated off of like an A.J. Brown or an A.J. Green, not A.J. Brown, an A.J. Green missed touchdown pass because A.J. Green didn't turn his head around and then the Green Bay Packers intercepted him off of that pass. It was horrific for the Arizona Cardinals. It's just like, how does that happen? And so Arizona loses the game and you think nothing of it, but then they essentially go on to lose a bunch of games for the next month and a half. They lose the one seed in the conference. They lose the one seed in their division and they acquiesce it to the Rams, who then went on to win the Super Bowl. And so the reason why, it feels so great to have Rico Dowdle back. He just got a 15-yard run for the Dallas Cowboys. But the reason why I say all this, right, is that the Philadelphia Eagles, to me, I thought they were going to lose the one seed in the division. And right, remember, like about a month and a half ago, in November, they weren't only the one seed in the conference, they were the one seed in the division, if you remember, right? And so now, they've already lost, they've acquiesced, they've given up the one seed in the conference to the San Francisco 49ers. The one seed in the division they've given up potentially to the Dallas Cowboys. Or, I mean, technically, they've already given that up. They've waved the white flag. Dallas right now is in a dogfight to try and get the two seed in the conference. As they show me, CeeDee Lamb has had 11 targets for 11 receptions for 87 yards. Which is insane. CeeDee Lamb is an interesting figure as well, as Dak tries to make something happen. Oh! My God! As Dak Prescott dances! I tried to preserve my voice. It's gone. As Dak just dances, revolution all over the Commanders. Defensive line. Scrambles inside the pocket, outside the pocket, trying to find something. I'm like, Dak, just throw it away. And then I was like, man, Dak is really trying to do something on third and goal. It's second and goal. And he finds CeeDee Lamb. Oh, man. I'm also going to talk about how Dak Prescott's the MVP of the NFL. Oh, my goodness. But yes, Dak throws his third touchdown. He also, again, threw an interception, batted in the air. Michael Gallup didn't go up and get it. I don't know why. This is going to be Michael Gallup's last season, and it is what it is. It is what it is. Oh, gosh, let me take a swig of my tea here. Oh, my gosh. But if you're a Cowboy fan, a lot of things are going in. A lot of things are going well. A lot of things. Oh, my goodness. A lot of things are going super well for Dallas. All they have to do is close out the game. They're up by 18 points almost midway through the third quarter, but Dallas has had a phenomenal game. I'm shocked that the Eagles can't beat the Giants. This is the Giants with, like, huge dysfunction at quarterback. I don't get it. And remember, and this to me was one of the signifiers for the Eagles' just complete collapse. It was moving on from Sean Desai in favor of Matt Patricia. Can we all agree, right? You may not have liked how Sean Desai had the command, not the Commanders, but the Eagles' offense or defense, excuse me, which, by the way, they changed after the Cowboys game. They changed their defensive coordinator. And I'm like, everybody gets smoked by Dallas for the most part. Especially over the last couple of weeks. And so they change out Sean Desai for Matt Patricia, who I hate. I think he's garbage. I think he got carried by Belichick. He's an overrated head coach. And whenever anyone from New England moves on from New England, they have no sense of football whatsoever. Like Bill O'Brien talking about how Jalen Milroe shouldn't be a quarterback for Alabama. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. But Matt Patricia is the defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. And since essentially that Cowboys game, right, he has given up 24 points today. Stand by. Stand by. Stand by. Because we got pretty much a full quarter left. He gave up 35 last week against the Cardinals. Hell, he gave up 25 against the Giants. Almost lost the damn game 2 weeks ago to the Giants as well. And then he lost 20-17 on a horrific drive where every single play they were picking on James Bradbury, by the way, who made second team All-Pro last year over Trevon Diggs. Trevon Diggs doesn't get an All-Pro, and he's an absolute dynamic monster last season, but James Bradbury gets the freaking one. Hold on, what's going on? They're showing me Ron Rivera is talking to somebody. What's going on here? Hold on, what's going on? Let me see. Hold on. I think he's talking to one of the defensive coaches or whatever. I mean, Ron Rivera's, by the way, is fired. He's fired. Thank God. He's fired. But interestingly enough, Ron Rivera and company came out with bullshit plays, fake punts, fake plays, and what was it, like double plays. They even brought out the old reliable, the Philly, and it didn't work. Dallas is all over it. Dallas has played a pretty immaculate game so far. Everybody wants to be like, oh, they didn't win. They had turnovers. And, oh, they blocked a field goal. And it's just like, well, who cares that all of that stuff happened when they're winning by three scores? If this was a normal game that wouldn't, as Fox shows me, what to look forward to for the Washington Commanders in 2024. Well, more likely than not, remember what I was talking about all throughout the last couple of weeks when Dallas beat Detroit and how everybody, I love how everybody was like, be careful, Dallas may, I remember Kimberly A. Martin, who I like a lot, was like, I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas lost to the Commanders. And it's just like, really? Really, Kimberly? You're better than that. A lot of people were like, don't be surprised if Dallas loses. Ha ha, Dallas hasn't beaten a team away all season long. Ha 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 ha. Carolina, the Giants, and now the Commanders. Almost the Eagles, by the way, but okay. And the Chargers, you know, when they had Justin Herbert, but okay. By the way, who's better? Is Justin Herbert better than Dak Prescott? I just want to know. I just want to know. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. I mean, I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys. I kind of want to watch the Cowboys, but we have a lot of things to discuss here. Congratulations to Washington. Tip of the cap to Washington for getting the second overall pick. You're welcome, by the way, instead of the fourth or the fifth pick. Washington came out to try and win the game for some weird reason. I don't know why, but they lost the game, or they will lose the game. I'm very confident in saying that I'm like, that I'm referring to this game in the past tense. I'm like, they lost it. There's still 7 minutes left in the third quarter. I'm like, oh, they lost. They lost. Anyways. Got other games to talk about. Other huge divisional clinching moments. And I'm, as much as I don't like certain coaches and things of that nature, I'm also excited for certain fan bases to have hope again in the new year. It is only 6 days after New Year's. I know. It's a little bit cringy to constantly reference New Year's, but I will reference New Year's a little bit here today. Congratulations to Atlanta. I have been just absolutely annoyed with the way that Atlanta has handled Arthur Smith as a head coach. They should have fired him last year. They will fire him this year. Arthur Smith was mad at Dennis Allen for running up the score on him. And bah, 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 bah. But Arthur Smith, the head coach for Atlanta, who at one point this season had the one seed in the division, a division in which it doesn't take a lot of wins to win. He had the one seed. And I got burned on him the first time last season, where I was like, Atlanta has a very easy schedule going forward from here. And once again, they completely choked away the divisional crown last year. And I was like, I'm not buying into this joke of a head coach and an organization again. And so I was like, you know what? This year, it's anybody but Atlanta, pretty much. It's like it's Tampa Bay, it's New Orleans. It can't be Carolina because Carolina's not very good. But of course, Atlanta, once again, falls below expectations. Oh! Blocked punt! Dallas! Oh my goodness! Trade a field goal, a blocked field goal for a blocked punt. Tress Way, one of the best punters in the NFL. Oh my God. Bones fossil. Haven't seen that one in a little bit over a month. Again, it's D-Day. It's Dallas's day. Just leave the man uncovered and he just absolutely gets it away. Is that Hendershot? Peyton Hendershot, the special teamer, the tight end who's playing special teams. I mean, they use everybody on special teams. Oh my goodness. Great job by Hendershot. Great job by the Dallas Cowboys, who recover deep, deep, deep inside of the Commanders' territory. First and goal at the 9. I gotta watch this. I'm watching this. I don't even remember what I was talking about. Dallas is inside the red zone again. Just a nice little handoff to Tony Pollard, who's had an amazing game today after, and it's a hold, it's coming back. Tony Pollard had a nice game today. I don't know how many yards he had. He doesn't need to have 100 yards. He just needs to not do what he did last week, which was do nothing. I'm like, which was do nothing. Yes, 13 carries, 63 yards. Tip of the cap to Tony Pollard. He's not going to get the just the complete, just Brink's truck worth of money that he probably wanted, but he's going to get something from probably another team. Especially if Derrick Henry is involved. I'm like, I'm rolling with Henry, and I'm figuring it out with Rico Dowdle, and that's just what we're going to do. If we're Dallas, as Washington plays a horrific zone defense that just allows Peyton Hendershot to run straight through the doggone defense. But going back to Atlanta, I was talking about Atlanta. I was very happy for Atlanta. I'm happy for Atlanta, and I'm happy for Atlanta Falcons fans because finally, they get their comeuppance. If you're Atlanta, you get what you want. Your head coach is gone. Your GM is potentially gone. And I haven't taken a nice, Dak, I don't like this at all. He almost gets the first, but Jesus Christ, at what cost, Dak? Throw it away. It's like you're almost inside the playoffs, and Dak almost ran into the turret that's on the NFL sideline. Probably another holding penalty. Yeah, it's a hold. Anyways, as I was saying, Atlanta will probably look at and discuss their first round draft pick on Tuesday. It's going to be big. It's going to be huge. Michael Penix Jr. potentially. Some people like Jaden Daniels. I'm a Michael Penix. I love Michael Penix Jr. I think he's great. I think he should have won the Heisman over Jaden Daniels. I don't even know how that happens. I'm not going to lie to you. But Atlanta should get another quarterback or another offensive lineman, or they should get some type of defensive player. So it sucks to be an Atlanta Falcons fan. Hell, it sucked to be an Atlanta Falcons fan for a very long time, but things are looking up. Potentially. We'll see. I mean, unless they make a bigger mistake, like not firing Arthur Smith. Watch as I'm celebrating Arthur Smith's demise and he doesn't get fired. He should be fired. Everybody's talked about how he probably will be fired in the next couple of days. Jags at Titans. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Derrick Henry has a little bit of juice left in the tank, it appears, as Derrick Henry, as I'm watching Dak and the Cowboys. Oh my God, Dak. God. Damn, Dak. As Dak just hits an absolutely immaculate ball to Brandon Cooks. It's that deep over route in the red zone where Brandon just essentially runs towards the back of the end zone, and Dak just has a immaculate ball to him, and Dak just hasn't missed Brandon Cooks on this route all year long. Oh, my God. Just insane how just great Dak is. Again, we'll talk about why Dak is the MVP of the league. But Tennessee beats Jacksonville. I remember I was so pissed off at Tennessee because I'm rooting for chaos here a little bit. But Jacksonville loses to Tennessee. Huge loss. Terrible loss. Derrick Henry had 19 carries, 153 yards. Just an embarrassment by the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. Wow. I don't have anything. Trevor Lawrence, of course, 2 turnovers, 2 touchdowns. I don't really know what else to say about Trevor. He's a great talent. He really is. But he has not developed the way that he should as a professional football player. It's just that simple, right? This is a layup game. This is easy. And Jacksonville really only scored 13 points for the majority of the game, for the entirety of the game. The last 7 points was in the fourth quarter in garbage time. It's just, I don't, like, remember how I was talking about yesterday? If you didn't watch yesterday's podcast, I semi-encourage you to watch it. It's not very good when it comes to the audio, but the content is there. I talked about how the Texans-Colts game did not feel like a playoff game whatsoever. There was no intensity early on. I was losing my proverbial mind because I thought that neither team was aggressive enough in regards to trying and securing an early lead. It's like, this is the playoffs. It's like, this isn't college football where somebody has a huge miraculous comeback in the fourth quarter. It's like, when things are done, things are done. And if you essentially let these teams off the hook and essentially play soft zones and soft coverages and all this other stuff, maybe not soft zones and soft coverages, but if you're not just a little bit more aggressive in trying to pursue a win, I feel like you open yourself up to lose. And I think that's what some of these teams have done over the last couple of days. Ironically enough, it's like only the NFC East that just seems to be, for a short amount of time, I guess, with Dallas and the Commanders, it seems as if those two teams actually want to compete against one another. It's just, Jacksonville, to me, just did not take the Tennessee Titans seriously, and the Titans just ran over them with, you know, essentially the Undertaker now. You know, Derrick Henry, he has a lot of nicknames. He has King Henry, but I'll just call him the Undertaker because he is back from the dead, because he was able to just have essentially another day against the Jacksonville Jaguars for what will probably be the final time. He said he went on the mic and he's talked to Tennessee Titans fans. It was a heartwarming moment. He's given them a lot of great seasons. It's not his fault they weren't able to do anything. It was his goddamn coach's fault, who should be fired after this season. But he may keep his job because of the day that he had against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I don't know what Mike Vrabel is supposed to do when he doesn't have one of the fucking best running backs in the history of the sport on his fucking team. I don't know what he's supposed to do. Lose, I guess. A lot of games, I guess. But yes, Mike Vrabel may keep his job. He may not. I would kind of be shocked if he got fired, even though he definitely deserves to be fired. It's just, it seems as if Tennessee is not inclined to fire him. For what reason, I don't know. I don't know. But the Titans, they win. Jags lose. The Jags aren't in the playoffs. They're not. As I'm watching the third Dak press. Do they let Dak go again? I think this is where you probably bench him. As I want to listen to Greg Olsen talk about this touchdown. I mean, Dak has thrown this ball so many times to Brandon Cooks. It's insane. It's insane. Let me take a swig of my tea. Mm. Show me Brandon Cooks. You know, Shannon Sharp had this nickname for Carson Wentz. He called him Old Walk It To Him because Carson Wentz's throws were essentially like handoffs. And it's just like, I may start calling Dak Prescott Old Walk It To Him. Old Walk It To Him. He called him Old Walk It To Him Wentz. Old Walk It To Him Prescott or Walk It To Him Prescott doesn't sound as good as Old Walk It To Him Wentz. I must admit, it's a good nickname. Walk It To Him. Anyways, going back to some of the good news around the league. Good news around the league. Texas, the Texans, are the one seed in the division. Tip of the cap. They deserve it. Great job, Houston. Winning yesterday against Indianapolis, because Indianapolis just didn't have the fucking guts to win the fucking game. Great job, Great job, Houston. Winner of their division. I'm also kind of trying to check in on some of the other teams. I guess Tampa Bay is going to be the one seed in their division. I think they will be. I just can't see it on Google. Google, I don't think, has updated the standings in regards to the NFC South. But Tampa Bay won in horrific fashion, 9-0 against the Panthers. Look, you're down A.J. Brown. Your team isn't playing very good. But here's the rub if you're the Eagles, right? The rub is, good thing is, you get to go up against Tampa Bay next weekend, who isn't very good. They really aren't. And again, they are, you know, they go in and they play in their division and all this good stuff, but it's just like Tampa Bay isn't very good. They won their division not because they're a good team, but because everyone else sucks. Everyone else sucks. So, Eagles, they could be a first-round elimination. I mean, I would expect some people would lose their jobs. I don't expect Nick Sirianni to lose his jobs. He's done a great job with the Eagles, as much as people want to complain about him. Like Doug Peterson, tad bit overrated. He beat the Patriots, fluke, probably will never happen again. I mean, not just because Belichick will probably be gone, but also because Tom is gone. But Patriots played defensively a horrific Super Bowl against the Eagles back in the day. They got them. They made the play infamous, the Philly, but the Patriots ran that earlier on in the game. It doesn't really matter. Doug Peterson got a Super Bowl ring, and he's made. But this game today against the Titans proves that he is not a great head coach. He really isn't. Maybe good, average, but not great. So, prove me wrong. Four interceptions in the only playoff game that they won in the last couple of years, and that was against the Chargers, and somehow they win it, but Trevor had played awful in it. Just saying. Eagles, you get Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, you get the Eagles, so it's like both teams. You're excited to play up against the other. We'll see. Let's talk about the Cowboys versus the Commanders here. Dallas is, I mean, right now it's 35-10. 1 minute to go in the third quarter. Hold on, as Sam Howell unloads. And Daron Bland, who hasn't had a pick in like 2 months. He had one against the Eagles or something like that a couple of weeks ago. He gets another pick. I think it's Sam Howell's second interception or something like that. Let's talk about Dallas and let's talk about Dak Prescott and how Dak Prescott's been the MVP. The reason why Dak is the MVP of the league, to me, it's short, sweet, and simple. It is because Dak has been the most unstoppable force in the NFL, period. He has. When he is on, and granted, he has had his faults. He has had his issues. I talked about a couple of days ago in comparison to Lamar Jackson why Dak deserves the MVP, and this point completely missed my head, or went over my head, excuse me. Dak has been the most dominant football player in the NFL. This game against Washington is kind of proof of that. People want to say Dak doesn't win on the road. Sure, fine. We can purvey that narrative. I would love to show everybody the 40-0 victory against the Giants opening weekend. How about this ass whooping, the 35-10 game against the Commanders, and on and on and on and on and on. He's had some really great performances, and sure, he's had some bad performances, like against the Bills. The Miami game, the Miami loss, if you watched it, wasn't his fault. Literally, his defense gave up a touchdown at the end of the game, or a field goal. I don't know what to tell you. It's not his fault. Defense is some of the best players in the NFL. Defense has to step up. He scored the game-winning touchdown. Defense let up the game-losing touchdown. Gave up the game-losing touchdown or field goal. He's only had three bad games all year. The Arizona game, Niners game, Bills game. Every other game, he's been awesome for the most part. Especially down the stretch this season. He's been unstoppable. I mean, even, like, against the Miami Dolphins, I never thought, man, Dak is playing terribly. I was like, man, Dak is playing great. The offense is playing great overall. But Dak and the Cowboys had missed some opportunities, and Dak kept on getting sacked a bajillion times against the Miami Dolphins because he had a left tackle who couldn't block, which is why Dallas went out and got Lael Collins, because Lael Collins can block. Against Detroit, right? Everybody overshadows and overlooks Dallas's impressive win against them that was heralded by Dak Prescott getting sacked constantly and pressured constantly by Aiden Hutchinson when he also had no running game to speak of. But people's conclusion is the Lions got robbed because of a bad two-point conversion call by the officials when Dan Campbell should have gone for the extra point and tie up the game. It was ridiculous. But it is right and it is fair to say Dallas would have won that game regardless. They had two timeouts left with 20-something seconds left with the best kicker in the game. It's like, are you kidding me? Probably could have won it. But Dallas' defense needed to play better. And finally, once again, this whole Dallas doesn't win on the road. Again, these kind of, these comments from people that are a little bit two-faced, and they're saying, well, Dallas is going to win, and or Dallas isn't going to win, and da-da-da-da-da, and blah-blah-blah, and all this other crap, and implying that Dallas won't win because Dallas doesn't win on the road. Again, check the Carolina game. It's like Dallas is in full control, not only over the division, but for the most part over the majority of the conference going into the fourth quarter against the Commanders. It's second and two at Dallas's 16-yard line. I'm getting ready and getting prepared for a long-ass drive by Dak Prescott, but it looks like Cooper Rush may come in and relieve Dak Prescott. I hope he doesn't, but Dallas is up by 25 points. It's like, why wouldn't they? You know, I want to see Dak Prescott play more football, but I don't know. They're already missing two of their starting tackles, or not two of their starting tackles. By the way, Dak did this, he has four touchdowns on the day, by the way. Just to be clear about this, Dak has had a phenomenal performance. Four touchdowns, 239 yards, one interception, right, this weekend. I forgot his performance. I think it was two or three touchdowns, 300 yards last weekend with no running game. Like, Dak has played a phenomenal, phenomenal game of football over the last couple of weeks, and this week is no different because this week he's missing both of his guards. Like, what do you want from the brother? What is it you need to see for Dak Prescott to get the MVP? I don't know. Harder strength of schedule, harder games, better losses, right? Like Dallas's loss, Dak's losses are to like the Cardinals, the scrappy Cardinals, the Niners, and also the Bills. And it's like Lamar's losses are to the Colts and things of that nature. And again, I love Lamar, but it's just like, I've seen Lamar Jackson play, and I saw that Steelers game too the other day. I saw it, and I was just like, the first Steelers game, not the second one where he doesn't play, but that first Steelers game where Lamar Jackson goes out and he's playing up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Baltimore Ravens had so many opportunities and chances to win the game, and Lamar just constantly and consistently just threw it away. And by threw it away, I mean he threw interceptions. Same thing that happened, I think, with the Colts and the Browns. It was just, oy vey. I don't know. It's just like, I mean, again, like, it's like second and long for Dallas and Dak converts. It's just, I don't get it. Converts easily, like he rolls and scrambles in the pocket and he gets the first down. I just don't understand it. Dak is potentially going to be, as there's like been a lot of scrums in the game, Dak is going to be the league leader in touchdowns in the NFL during the regular season for the first time since Roger Staubach has done it in the 70s. I mean, that's how historic of a season Dak Prescott has had. And I get it. Dak doesn't have like 40 touchdowns, or he doesn't even have, I think, the 2021 season, as he throws it to Dennis Houston, who just throws a quick slant, or not Dennis Houston, but to Jalen Brooks for like a first down. And he just, I don't know, he leaves his feet and he does just, I don't understand what's going on with Jalen Brooks. Just completely missed a first down. But Dak is awesome. Dak is playing great. He's been phenomenal. He's been great. I don't understand why he's not considered more. I mean, Lamar's going to win it, and Lamar deserves it. I would be mondo pistoffo if Brock Purdy won it over Dak or Lamar. But Dak and Lamar deserve it. I wouldn't. You know what I wouldn't be mad at? I would not be mad if the NFL gave co-MVPs to Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson, even though Dak deserves it. But it's just like he has played so phenomenally this season, Dak Prescott has. And I think that Dak is probably the reason why the Cowboys are going to go to the Super Bowl this year. I mean, we'll have to see them match up against the 49ers. I think that game, the first game, was a fluke. I think Dallas just played terribly. And the 49ers, obviously, and credit to the 49ers, they completely and utterly capitalized on it. But, I mean, Dak right now, again, The difference between this season and last season is stark. Dak right now is 29 of 33 for 260 yards, 4 touchdowns, and an interception. Again, the interception wasn't his fault. The ball gets batted in the air at the line of scrimmage. Instead of trying to go for the ball and trying to bat it down, Michael Gallup, who was in the area, wasn't like he was targeting him. He was in the area. He tries to box out the defender, and he's just like, bro, this isn't basketball. Go get the football. And the defender, of course, gets around Gallup, and he snags the interception. And I was just like, come on, Michael Gallup. You know, I was thinking about this before the podcast. I was thinking, like, you know what would be a great thing for Dallas to do, right? You have all of your players. You have, you know, top-rated offense, offensive line, you know, top-rated defensive line. You know, maybe you go out and get another safety or a linebacker or something. I would love to see Dallas really solidify the second or third overall player, wide receiver, excuse me, on their team. At least in my opinion. I just think that Dallas has something really, really special in Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, and the strength of their team isn't everything. It's like the strength of the team is the team. It's like the wolf pack analogy. It's like the strength of the pack is the pack, the strength of the wolf is the pack. Or the strength of the wolf is the pack, and the strength of the pack is the wolf, you know? It's like the strength of the Cowboys is Dak. I don't know. Like, we're going to talk about a lot of these teams and their season-ending situations. I think Dallas should take another shot at another wide receiver. I mean, they're great. I mean, they got Jalen Tolbert. They got Brandon Cooks. If you can snag one of the top-rated guys in this year's draft, you know what's interesting? I was looking up, not even looking up, excuse me, but what is it? Profootball.com? Pro Football Network. There we go. I was looking at some of the wide receivers, right, in the draft. And Georgia has this really interesting wide receiver who had like 1,600 yards. I'm trying to use the scouting for Pro Football Network here. Where is it? Here we go. And it's just like, who is it? It's Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver from Georgia, who had like 1,600 yards. I was like, man, like, how awesome would it be if you're Dak and you have another threat for Dak Prescott with CeeDee Lamb, and potentially, I think you bring back Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks has had that just that unstoppable touchdown pass from Dak all freaking, oh, and they're going for it. Are they going for it? No, they're not. They're bringing out the kicker. But it's like they've had Brandon Cooks, who's had a really, really awesome season with Dallas. Really, he probably should be a 1,000-yard receiver if they had a better connection for the most part. But, I mean, he's going to have 600, almost 700 yards with Dallas, which was what he had in 2022. But I think he could and should be better as Brandon Aubrey misses a 36-yard field goal, which it's just like, I don't understand how that happens. But it is what it is. I don't care. Dallas is up by 25 points. I don't care. Regardless, Dak has played awesome. They'll draw, I think they'll draw the Packers next week. And they'll be ready. They'll be ready for the Packers. I don't think the Packers pose a threat, which is ironic because the Packers have been... Oops, sorry. Almost fell out of my chair. The Packers have been the bane of Dallas's existence for the last decade in regards to the playoffs. And to be honest with you, in the regular season, and Jordan Love had a phenomenal game today. He was 24 of 29 for 280 yards. He had a almost Dak Prescottian day. I don't care. He's going to have to be better than that going into this game this year. He will. He will have to be better. But anyways, a lot of Dallas, a lot of conversation about Dallas. Dallas is going to be fine next week and the week after. I think they take the next two games, and we'll see what happens from then on. Sorry about that. Anyways, anything else I got to talk about? Lions beat the Vikings handedly 30-20. Vikings, we'll see what happens with the Vikings. I just, gosh. There's so many bad options for them. They don't really have a lot of good options. One of the options that they have is just like, just, you know, get rid of their head coach after getting rid of Kirk Cousins. I just don't think they're going to get rid of Kirk and the GM and the head coach all in the same offseason. That's just too much dysfunction. But they will be getting rid of Kirk. And I think Russell Wilson to Washington or to the Minnesota Vikings is like really, really interesting stuff overall. Especially when it's just like, if you're Minnesota, you were the top team in your division, and now you're fading fast, right? Because Lions have Jared Goff, right? And Jahmyr Gibbs and Aiden Hutchinson and all those guys. Packers have Jordan Love, viable option after Aaron Rodgers left. And now the Bears have Justin Fields and two top 10 picks, and they got DJ Moore. Like, what do you have? Like, Justin Jefferson is your core of the offense. You want to get rid of Danielle Hunter, which I don't understand why they were so giddy to get rid of Danielle Hunter. It doesn't make any sense. He's not even 30 years old. And to me, it's just like, Danielle Hunter is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. He has 16.5 sacks this year. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't understand it. As they're showing me Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy have a conversation after. Hold on. Sorry. Sorry, but they're showing me Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott have a hilarious conversation. But I don't know. It's just ridiculous. Anyways. I was talking about the Vikings and how they're kind of screwed short-term, potentially long-term. It's just because they don't have a viable option after Kirk Cousins, and I just don't really know what they're supposed to do. Russell Wilson is going to be a huge chess piece this offseason. Huge. He's going to be huge because he will determine kind of how some teams will draft later on, like how aggressive they will, what type of aggression and what they'll try and target. But the Vikings should either be, but there's also an interesting conversation about Russell Wilson, right? It's just like, well, which Russell Wilson are we getting? Are we getting Denver Russell Wilson, where he was terrible? Or are we getting like Seattle, where he was a perennial MVP every single year? Like, that's a pretty good question. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. Jesus Christ. Also, another thing that kind of needs to happen with Washington, because my God, are the Cowboys giving Washington the business? I mean, they're going to draft a quarterback. They're going to draft a quarterback. Sam Howell's not that guy. I mean, can you really say to yourself, yeah, Sam Howell is going to be better than Caleb Williams long term? Because that's essentially the question that you're posing. Caleb Williams or Penix Jr. or whoever else you have second. Is he better than whoever is the second overall pick or the second overall quarterback in this year's draft? Like, is his career going to be better? Because if it's not, then get the quarterback. If he is, as I literally watch Sam Howell trip on a handoff. So his day is done in Washington. I was about to say, like, is he better than Caleb? No, he's not better. Find another tackle or whomever. It may have been that his offensive lineman stepped on his foot, but it doesn't look very good for Sam Howell and company. Especially when it's like you got a bajillion awesome targets and all that good stuff. But yes, if you're the Commanders, you have to potentially address quarterback and offensive line as well. I mean, it's 3rd and 21 right now in the bottom of the fourth quarter. It's like, yeah, like Dallas is whooping their ass right now. It's ridiculous. Oh my God, Dante Fowler gets another sack. I mean, these aren't the starters for Dallas, by the way. Dallas has pulled, for the most part, their starters. And they're done. They're done for the day. 25 up 25. They're going to win the division. They're going to be the second seed in the conference. This is it. This is the big boy, right? This is the game that Dallas needed to win, and they won it handedly. And it's like Dante Fowler gets held by the left tackle, and while the left tackle is getting doubled, is getting help. It's like, if you're Washington, you are hosed right now. Absolutely up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. So Washington is done. Their day is done. Their year is done. Everything is done. They need a lot of help. Oh, my gosh. Talked about Bucks and Panthers. Jets versus the Patriots. What a absolutely horrifying loss to the New England Patriots. Or not to the New England Patriots. By the New England Patriots. And what will potentially be Bill Belichick's final game coaching, not in the NFL, but for the New England Patriots. It's terrible. Horrific game. Snaps a like 2,900-day streak that the Patriots had against the Jets, a winning streak. And he couldn't have gone out on a worse way. Six-time Super Bowl coach with New England, one of the winningest head coaches of all time. These last 2 to 3, maybe even 4 seasons, have not done him any favors, but he's easily one of the greatest head coaches, if not the greatest head coach of all time. He really is. And it's sad that he was so on top and so dominant for so many years, and just immediately when Tom left, it was done. That dynasty was just over and done with. It sucks. Love Bill. But yikes, these last couple of years have been bad. And he's probably gone. They'll meet apparently tomorrow with him to discuss his future. He's probably gone. Speaking of futures, they were kind of talking about some of the head coaches that will keep their jobs or that will lose their jobs. Bill was kind of like one of those guys that probably will lose his job. Dennis Allen, the Saints head coach, will probably keep his job, especially after the performance that he had against the Falcons. Falcons, Arthur Smith is probably gone. Ron Rivera won't be fired today. He'll be fired tomorrow because today is his birthday. Just a little bit. They'll probably thank him, like, tip of the cap to you, Ron. Thank you for everything you've done, all that good stuff. But we're moving on from you because, my God, you suck as a head coach. Probably will be his last gig. He may be one of those, like, scout. He'll probably find another team, and he'll probably be, like, a scout or something or whatever. He'll probably be in the NFL for as long as he wants to, but he'll never get another opportunity like this again. It kind of sucks in one way because it's like he married himself to a person or a team who is promiscuous, if we're using the metaphor. Meaning like he was married to somebody who was destined to ruin the relationship. And who he was married to, was the Commanders, and the Commanders, they aren't a very good team. So it kind of sucks in one way, but in another way, it's like he didn't do them any favors with the decisions that he made as well. So, we'll see what happens. Eagles versus Giants. Those two games happened. Eagles lost. Eagles are losing 10-24. They'll probably go down here in a couple of minutes. 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. What is it? What else is going on here? Seattle versus the Cardinals. Seattle is losing to the Cardinals again, right? Cardinals, wasted year. Kyler tore his Achilles, not his Achilles, his ACL last season in 2022. This season he came back late and he just never found his footing. But I mean, Cardinals, I've said it when they beat the Cowboys. I was like, Cardinals are scrappy. As Dak and the Cowboys are sure to shore up. They keep showing Dak and how great he's played and all that good stuff. 11th career game with 4 touchdown passes, which is a team record. This is a game that people was like, this is a trap game. Watch out. Dallas didn't play them very well last year. All that good stuff. And it's just like Dallas just absolutely ran through them like a freaking wall that was made out of styrofoam. Can you imagine? Can you imagine like a rhino just running through just a wall made out of styrofoam? That's essentially what just happened. I can't tell if the Commanders put in their backups. I can't really tell, but it kind of makes it look. I don't know the Commanders' backups from their starters. I think they did. They all play the same, which is badly. Broncos at Raiders again. I don't care. Bears at Packers. Don't care. Bears are down by 8 points. Looks like the Packers are going to win, and I think the Packers are going to be playing up against the Cowboys. Let me check the standings really fast. It's like whoever's the lowest seed will play up against the Cowboys, and it's like the Packers are 8-8. They'll go and they'll be 9. They'll be like the 9th seed or something like that. I'm not sure. Unless the Bears pull off a miracle. Or it's the Rams, or it's like the Rams, the Saints, or the Packers are going to be going up against the Cowboys. We'll see what happens. I don't have the standings in front of me. I'll get them for Sunday Night Football, but I don't have the standings. The last couple of days have been important for the regular season and for placement in the postseason. And I'll end the podcast here because there's really not a lot much else to talk about. Saturday, Detroit won. I mean, trying to potentially lock up the number 2 slot in the conference. They won't get it. Dallas will. And the Texans won, or technically Detroit played today. I thought that they played yesterday. They played today. But Detroit got their win against the Vikings. Texans, they're back into the playoffs. A lot of good things happened today and yesterday for certain teams, and other teams just fell ridiculously short. Look, there's some teams that are in a great position for the draft. It sucks today. Atlanta, the Commanders, the Patriots, it sucks. Especially, it's going to suck even more when the Patriots fire Bill. But they are in a good spot when it comes to the future and for the organization. Their seasons are done. The organization is in a good spot, though. The teams that are in the playoffs, again, the list is getting narrower and narrower. I said that whoever comes out of the NFC will be the Super Bowl champion. There are two teams that are going to come out of the NFC. Dallas Cowboys, San Francisco 49ers. We probably won't see them play until late January. Potentially the Baltimore Ravens as well. I'll keep three teams, but I'll add in an AFC team. And then everybody else is just playing for second. That's just it. Those three teams, Baltimore, Dallas, and the Niners, all have great chances of going to and winning the Super Bowl this season. Three teams, huge legacies on the line. Lamar Jackson winning the MVP this year, potentially going to the Super Bowl and winning that. Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, 5 championships, could potentially tie the Patriots and the Steelers for a 6th, and finally knock off the rust and the dust off of their old Super Bowl championships and be champions once again. And really, the San Francisco 49ers are in the exact same position. We'll see what happens. Anyways, I'll see you later for Dolphins versus the Bills. Ladies and gentlemen, 24's Podcast.